If you would, turn with me to Luke, the 22nd chapter. We'll read verses 7 through 13 as we begin this study. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, most of the world calls this the Last Supper. There's a famous painting, of which I do not know the artist's name, but there's a painting of the Last Supper, of supposedly what the apostles look like and what Christ looked like, and they're partaking of this Last Supper. And so, down through the ages, this is what it's been called. But in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Verse 12, then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now this is in approximately 30 A.D. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me back to Exodus, the 12th chapter, verse 1, because the title of this lesson, this day, is the First Supper. That was the Last Supper. This is the First Supper. Let's see if we can see if they were able to duplicate this First Supper. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for his household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 9, do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. Verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two door posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two door posts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. Verse 26, and it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. This was the first supper. This was the first Passover. A new month for the children of Israel, the first month, a new beginning. Verse 2. Tell all on the 10th of the first month, every man shall choose a lamb. Verse 3, they might share it with his neighbors so that there's no waste. It's to be without blemish. It's to be a male of the first year, a yearling, or a goat. Verse 4 and verse 5. Keep it until the 14th and kill it at twilight. Verse 6. Verse 7, take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and lintels of the host home. Verse 8, eat the flesh roasted in fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Verse 9, do not eat it raw or boiled, but roasted. Eat its heads, legs, and entrails. What you do not eat until morning, burn with fire. Verse 10. Verse 11, eat it, be ready to go. Belt on your waist, sandals on, and staff in your hand, and in haste. In other words, with urgency. Everything's about to happen. You're going to leave Egypt. Verse 11, it is the Lord's Passover. And today we might say, are there any questions? That's pretty specific. And that was approximately 1447 BC. We might just keep this in mind, this 1447 BC, because for some reason people have the idea that we can't remember anything. We can't carry anything through from generation to generation. It can't be done. It's never been done. So therefore, we might want to do what we want to do. But what was the purpose of this first supper? It was God's sign of redemption, but only when they had obeyed the commands. Verse 13. Does that sound familiar? They had to do certain things. And when I see the blood, guess what? If they don't see the blood, they're going to be destroyed. If they eat leavened bread, they're going to be destroyed. They shall be cut off from Israel. That's what it says. It's pretty clear. There are certain commands God wanted these people to do. If they didn't do them, they're going to suffer the consequences. It was to be a memorial of what God had done. Verse 14. Are we a forgetful people? Were they a forgetful people? Certainly they were. They had all kinds of memorials. When they went into the promised land, the rocks that were on the other side, and the children might ask, what was this all about? It's when God parted the waters of Jordan or held the waters back so that we could cross over into the promised land. It was a memorial. This is a memorial. A yearly memorial. It was to become a yearly feast day throughout your generations. Verse 14. What else were they to do? Eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Verse 15. Also, remove all leaven from your house. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. It was to be a holy convocation, verse 16, on the first and seventh day. No work was to be done except for the necessary food preparation. These above mentioned commands are for the Feast of Unleavened Bread and its purpose for them to remember that God brought their army, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, verse 17, to be remembered forever, to be eaten from the 14th through the 21st of the first month. Well, how often is there a first month? Every year. How often were they the children of Israel? Every year. How often do you think they should partake of this? Every year. If you eat anything with leaven, you will be cut off. We might use the word excommunicated. Verses 19 and verse 20. This is important because leaven can do some things we'll see a little bit later. So God's command was carried out in verse 28. And as I said, this is approximately 1447 BC. Well, the Passover is reviewed in Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And why would it be reviewed? Maybe because we're a forgetful people. Deuteronomy 16. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chose to put his name. Verse 4, and no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at the twilight remain overnight until morning. And it goes on down through verse 8. In Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, we have warnings by Moses. Moses states, in Deuteronomy 31, beginning with verse 26, take this book of the law and put it beside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you, for I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive, and you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? Was Moses a prophet? You better believe it. Did Moses know these people? You better believe he did. Gather to me all the elders of your tribes, verse 28, and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearings and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. Not only had Moses commanded them, this command came from God. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Moses passes from this life. He hands the torch off to Joshua. In Joshua, the first chapter, and verse 8. Joshua states, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This is approximately in the year 1383. We're 40 years removed from leaving Egypt. As we go down through time, Let's go to the year approximately, say, 715 B.C. 715 B.C. About 732 years later. We don't have a concept of that here in the United States because we've only been around 220 years or so. It's hard for us to comprehend the years that have gone by. But let's look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. And verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. Verse 3. For they could not keep it at the regular time, because a sufficient number of priests had not consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse 15. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought their burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. Remember, it's been delayed here because they weren't righteous in God's sight. They hadn't concentrated themselves. Verse 21. So the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord, accompanied by loud instruments. As we move on through time, we come to Josiah. And this is in approximately 639. So about 93 years have gone by. And we look at 2 Kings. Chapter 22. And read verse 8. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphna the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And you know what I'm guessing? It's probably got 2 inches of dust on it. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphna, and he read it. And verse 11. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Achiam the son of Shaphna, Achor the son of Micaiah, Shaphna the scribe, and Asaiah servant of the king, saying, Go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers, watch this, our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Did Moses' words come true? Evidently. Josiah has torn his clothes. And here we are in 639. So 808 years later. So we ask this question. Did Josiah keep the Passover in the correct way? Or had too much time passed for him to do it the proper way? You know what people would say today. Oh, too much time has passed. We don't need to do it that way. Why should we assemble on the first day of the week? After all, we read about that in the book of Acts, and we're not even 2,000 years removed. Surely we wouldn't want to do what we find in the book of Acts or the rest of the New Testament. Much too long of time has passed. Really. 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 1. Now with that argument, I mean, after all, we have the internet, we have encyclopedias, we have plenty of books, we have resource material. You would think that it would be impossible for Josiah to keep this Passover the same way the children of Israel did when they left the land of Egypt. If our logic today is correct. But let's see what the Bible says about it. 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 1. Now Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. Does that sound familiar? I wonder how they were able to do that. They found the book, remember? They went back to that book. You know what? They didn't go back to somebody else's book. They didn't go back to, and I'm being humorous here, they didn't go back to Josephus' great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's book. Josephus was a first century historian. They didn't go back to that if there was such a book. They went back to the book to see what needed to be done. Can we see anything there by these people of God that maybe we should imitate? Which brings us to Luke, the 22nd chapter. It's so frustrating to say we can't duplicate something because we're too far removed from it. What would that be? We're only 1982 years removed from it, we'll say, from what we should do as Christians. There's a lot more years there involved with them. I mean, look at what they had. They didn't have this book, that book, this book. They got one book to look at. They're carried away captive. All these other different things that have happened to them. It's a divided kingdom. They just got this one book they've got to have right next to them at all times. And yet, 730 years goes by, and they were able to duplicate exactly what God asked them to do. Did Jesus, was he able to duplicate that in 1,477 years? Well, it looks like we've read that in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke 22 and verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread which drew near. You know what? That's the exact same feast that the children of Israel, as they were leaving Egypt, kept. It's not some other feast. It's not similar to. It's the same thing. A lamb or a goat without blemish of the first year with unleavened bread. What did Jesus and his disciples eat? Exactly what the people did in Moses' time, in Joshua's time, in Hezekiah's time, in Josiah's time. Why? Because it was the law. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 16. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Had Christ died yet? No. What's he keeping? The old law. Verse 17. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Had Christ died yet? No. He's keeping the old law. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but we in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. If there was ever a time in Christ's life for him to break the rules of the law of Moses, to me, in my eyes, it would be at this time. Let's bring something new in. After all, we're going to be under a New Testament. You folks will be under a New Testament. Some of you here today will obey the gospel. You'll be baptized into Christ, and the old law will be nailed to the cross, so let's have something new. No, sir. He kept this. Unleavened bread with unleavened fruit of the vine. Remember what I said about unleavened? Not in the house for 7 days? You know what leaven does? Leaven takes grape juice and turns it into wine. It's a corruption. Christ's body was without corruption. Remember what John the Baptist said? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It's perfect, without a blemish. And we have unleavened bread, unleavened fruit of the vine, which represents his body and his blood. An uncorrupted body and an uncorrupted blood. So why do I say something about this? I've mentioned this before, but in 1970, a girl that I never went out with, that I wish I would have asked to at least go out with, she went to school at Muncie, at Ball State University. And I was talking to her mother. I said, how's Penny getting along? Oh, just fine. She's found a congregation to attend down there. There's just swarms of college students there. And they serve pizza and Coca-Cola for the Lord's Supper. Now you tell me, after what we've read, how are they doing what Moses commanded the children of Israel to do, or Hezekiah, or Josiah, or Judah? Joshua, excuse me, instead of Judah. How are they keeping that? The same thing. Oh, we've got to do something different. After all, this is 1970. We're 1,940 years removed from what they did in that first century. Look how many years removed we are from when they first did it back in 1447 B.C. We certainly can't do the same thing. We shouldn't have to do the same thing. That's not what God said. He said you'd be cut off. If there's leavening, you'd be cut off. Do you suppose there were any people from the time that was instituted in 1447 until the time Christ died on the cross? You suppose there's anyone that probably had leaven in their house? No, and those people, those stiff-necked people, I would guess the answer is yes. And they died in their sins. And yet, we serve pizza and Coca-Cola? You got to be kidding me. Okay, so we don't do that. But there are some people that some places they serve something besides unleavened bread and unleavened fruit of the vine. They serve wine. They serve leavened bread. Crackers with salt on them. Maybe there might be some places that serve coffee and graham crackers. Maybe this day and age, maybe it's Starbucks coffee and Dunkin' Donuts. Who knows? That's probably not too far-fetched. I mean, after all, we're 42 years removed from Coca-Cola and pizza. I wonder what they're serving today over there at Muncie, at Ball State. Or have they stuck with the pizza and the Coca-Cola? First Corinthians 11, 24. We'll back up to verse 23, because this is absolutely, without a doubt, God's seal of approval. This is the good housekeeping award, you might say. Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, states, "For I received from the Lord." You know what? I don't need any other explanations on what I should do on the first day of the week. I'll take what Paul has to say right here. You might get confused on what order it is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and what it was all about. But right here, without a doubt, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." In other words, it's word for word what God told me. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We already know, we have already established the fact that it was unleavened bread. Christ kept the old law. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I'll guarantee you, that was unleavened fruit of the vine, without a doubt. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." Peter said in 1 Peter 1:19, "But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." In other words, without corruption, without leavening. John 1:29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Here we are in the year 2012. We have some people wavering on what we should have for the Lord's Supper. If they could keep the old law for 1480 years, surely we can keep the new law about 2,000 years removed from it. John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." That is a commandment. Who takes and eat? Whoever reads this, whoever is qualified to partake of it. Christians. And yet we have some people out there corrupting the Lord's Supper. What a disgrace. The next time you go to Washington, D.C., what would you think if that big spire that's sticking up in the air, the sign says, "The Harry S. Truman Memorial," rather than the Washington Monument? What would you think? Or maybe the one on down the way where the fella is sitting in the chair. But now it's called the FDR Memorial, rather than the Lincoln Memorial. What would you think? Would you be upset about that? Or you go down the way there, and there's the black granite with the names on it of soldiers that have been killed, and they changed that to the Civil War Memorial rather than the Veterans Memorial. What would you think? Would you do anything about it? Would it upset you? Wrong names, wrong place? How is it we might get upset about something like that, and we don't get upset with people have got here in the Lord's Supper? Shame on us. And shame on those people thinking, "Oh, it just doesn't matter." Yes, it does. There are some things in life that matter, and most of them are found right here in the Bible. It matters. Book, chapter, and verse. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It doesn't say might be saved. It says shall be saved. "And he that believeth not shall be damned." It doesn't say he might be damned. It says shall be damned. And yet we've got friends and brethren, people that have fallen away, they've taken something new on, they don't believe that anymore. where they never believed it to begin with. And sometimes maybe we sit and contemplate about that, and maybe we shed some tears about that. And we rightfully so, we should. Because we got people that we love. Maybe it's our neighbors. And sometimes we have a Bible study with them, and it's like butting our head up against the wall. But we got to do what we got to do. We got to try and talk to them. And we got to, as Keith Galloway would say, they've got to see that we care about them, and then they'll see how much we know. They'll care how much you know when they know how much you care. We've all got somebody close to us. Share the gospel with them. Encourage them to come, to be here, to be somewhere where the saints gather together. We've got to hear the word. We've got to believe the word. We've got to confess that Jesus is the Christ. We've got to repent. We've got to be baptized. We have to do all of those things to be pleasing to God. And you know what? That's not changed in nearly 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years. Just under 2,000 years. My math isn't very good this morning. 1982 years, if 30 was the year of Pentecost, of Acts 2. That hasn't changed. That formula hasn't changed. Very similar to the Passover. It didn't change all those years. Why is it we want to change everything to accommodate us? Shame on us. If we can help you in any way, restore you to the faith that you need to have or to become a Christian, we ask you to come forward now while we stand and sing.